Hosts Eric and Patsy Richards. Marriage in Real Life is a podcast about two imperfect people with an imperfect marriage. This podcast aims to help listeners to know that God, who is perfect, can use your imperfections and your imperfect marriage to help others. So let's laugh and learn. I hope you enjoy the episode. Let's get straight into it.
Well, welcome to Marriage in Real Life.
Welcome.
We want to thank each and everybody who is joining us for this time. We're going to have a special guest with us tonight.
Yes.
We're so excited to have them join us tonight. As I often say, you could have been doing something else, but joining us is one thing that is great. And I'm so excited about having this young couple.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm so excited by having this young couple join us tonight. We apologize.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes down to me, I know nothing about this.
Nothing stuff. About technology, man.
Nothing.
You know?
Why do I need to know when I have you?
Well, hey, that's a good one. I'm glad you realize.
Now, if you go to glory. If you go to glory, I will be a bit stuck.
You will be a bit stuck. Yeah, you will be. And so we want to make sure that I leave you with somebody. Jordan is good with technology.
Okay, he'll walk me through
it. He'll walk you through it, all right?
He finished picking me up off the floor.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get back to it. Well, we're glad to have this young couple with us tonight. You know, they're our spiritual mother and father in the gospel. They got on us.
Yes, they did.
Right?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. they got on us, and so... We're so glad to have them with us tonight. We got Bishop Gerald and Lady Cheryl Banks. We want to give everybody, come on, y'all give them a hand clap for being here. All right, we're so excited about having them with us tonight. They've been married for 41 years.
Ooh, yeah.
41 years. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Yes.
That is a long time. We've been married almost 32,
mm-hmm.
So they got us, you know, by a lot, right?
Yeah, about 10 years.
All right. So, but we're glad to have them with us, and they're going to share with us. They're going to have just a marriage talk, and we're going to have some prayer at the end, and hopefully enough time we have some questions. You know, mm-hmm. If somebody want to call in and ask some questions, or you can put the questions in the chat. We'll be monitoring that. But we're so glad to have them. So we want to bring over Bishop and Gerald and Lady Cheryl Banks. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. How y'all doing?
Oh, we doing all right.
We look happy.
Well, we are happy. You know, we're happy. We you happy, babe?
Most of the time.
Oh Lord, you hear that? Most of the time. Okay. All right. So I'm glad I'm making you happy most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good to go. Well, we're excited to have Bishop and Lady Cheryl share with some couples tonight. And so we're just going to turn it over to you all, Bishop, and it's all you all. God bless you.
God bless you. First of all, we want to thank God, amen, for being on here with my son and my daughter in the Lord, offer them and what they're doing, trying to help marriages be better. And we praise God, amen, for coming on and allowing us to be able to share from our experiences. And I want to thank God for my wife, Cheryl Lynn Banks. We got married December the 25th, 1982, on Christmas. And I am grateful, amen, that God has blessed me with a woman of God, a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. And through 41 years, she stood right there by me every day, and I try to stand by her every day. So you want to say something, honey?
You want to get started?
No, say something to the people. Say hi.
Hi, guys. We're so glad to be here. We're glad to have... We thank Pastor Eric and First Lady Patsy for inviting us on. We love them so much, and I love their relationship. They have a wonderful relationship, and I love how they laugh and enjoy each other, and that's what marriage is all about.
Amen. And as we got a few points we're going to, try to bring out, and I just want to reiterate something about marriage. You know, blueprint that we got is the Bible, and we apply it to our lives, and then we try to make sure that we're following God's guidelines for marriage the best we could. There's always going to be some hiccups and some challenges, but you got to remember this. If you love God, it's going to work out. Amen. So my wife is going to start out, and then I'll just chime in when she let me.
So my husband came up with 5 or 6 different points that we're going to talk about. The first one is, when did marriage begin? Why do we have marriage? And it started with in the very beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, he created Adam. And then he found out that Adam was alone and he needed companionship. So marriage started out as companionship. So he put Adam to sleep, took a rib out, made Eve, and that was the very first marriage.
And when you look at that particular scenario, you understand that God did this. God brought them together. And inside of bringing them together, amen, God was establishing something in this earth that he had created. And he made man dominion. He gave man a helper. He gave man a helpmeet, which is his wife. And that's such an awesome thing. Amen. The Bible says when a man find a wife, he finds a good thing, obtain favor from the Lord. And like I said, we've been married 41 years, and I'm gonna get into that a little bit as my wife go to look for us.
Okay, next point is when you marry, you should marry for love. And I know so many people marry for different reasons, security, different things. But Bishop feels that we should marry for love. If John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God. So if you don't love your spouse, then, because you know he's included in that, it's easy for us to try to love others. But the person that we live in the house with, we should love them. And if we don't love our spouse, then we don't love God. So, and then when you're in love, you have a joy, that kind of joy that you can't get from anything else, not from buying houses or cars or having money or career. When you're in love with the person, you have that joy, that fellowship with them, that love. That my brother-in-law, Belton Banks, he used to say that when my husband got off from work, I'll be standing at the door. And he said I used to jump up and down. I don't know how true that was, but I was glad to see him. And I really was glad to see him. And I do. Still now, when he's gone and he comes in, it's just like a happiness come over me. And that's that.
That's so sweet.
That's the kind of love that we should have one for each other.
Amen. Okay. She's still jumping. All right. She's still jumping, y'all. But listen, I thank God for that. Now, I want to say this about sometimes when people look at years, let me explain something. You know, they look at the longevity of marriage. You got a lot of people that are been married a long time, but they are not together. What I mean by that is, if you have a house, a home, and if you don't invest in that home over time, everything starts breaking down. When things start breaking out in that house, you know, if you don't repair it, you pretty soon you're gonna have a mess on your end. So you've got to invest in your marriage. It starts with God. I've married a lot of people over my years in ministry. And I always tell them this, do not leave God at the altar. Now, most people want a godly wedding. They want God to sanction it. They want it in a church. And that's all that's well and good. But when you bring God into your marriage, God have guidelines for the man as well as the woman. That way, if we start going contrary, we go back to Daddy God and find what the guidelines are. And say, okay, let's bring ourselves in and let's do it the way God wants to do it. And a lot of times, amen, what causes marriage to have issues and problems is the people don't want to submit to those guidelines because of pride, because I want to be right, you know what I mean? I know, you know, whatever. Everybody got their own reasons. But you got to keep God as the glue that hold marriage together. When two people are like this and when they start straining, amen, God will hold them together. He will hold that marriage together until y'all can get it figured out. Amen.
All right. Amen. Last little point about love that we wanted to say, that love is when the other person's happiness is more important than your own. So that's, if you want a measurement of how to measure whether you're really truly in love with that person, is that person more important to you than you getting your happiness? Our third point says that you must have trust in the marriage. Trust starts with forgiveness, okay? Trust doesn't mean that person will never do anything wrong or you will never do anything wrong. But trust means that I trust God enough that we can get over anything that might happen in our marriage.
Amen. And that's very, very important because, and I also want to say this, I meant to mention it earlier. When you go into a marriage, one thing you got to rule out that option is, if it don't work, I'm going to get a divorce. That option cannot be on the table if you're going into marriage. You must get that option out. That shouldn't be an option. That shouldn't be something you got in your back pocket, because you're going there and you make those vows. You say, to death do us part. And in the midst of that, you always going to have some challenges. Remember, God is the glue. But you got to take that divorce option off the table. Man, my wife, you know, we have a saying, you know, we don't want to mention it out of the house. We don't want to hang around. We don't want that spirit eating around our house. We ain't talking about that. We can get upset with each other, but we want to take that off the table. And Satan can trick us from time to time. But you got to stay close to God so God can get you back on track. And when you start talking about marriage and you wanna love and you wanna trust that person, there's gonna be some time when it's tested. There's going to be some times when it's tested, but you have to understand, amen, you have to understand this. God got you and God got that person. You do right by God. No matter what they are doing, you got to do right by God at the end of the day. And God will handle your desires and your prayers concerning your spouse. Amen?
Amen. Please remember to forgive quickly. Just forgive. If you hold on to things and things get into your heart, it's gonna, even though you don't say it out loud, it's gonna eventually interrupt the marriage and cause confusion. And so forgive, just forgive. You wanna be forgiven. You know, if you make a mistake, you want them to forgive. You know, you want your spouse to forgive you right away. So forgive quickly, all right? And I'll repeat one more time. Trust is in the Lord, okay? The Lord is perfect. Jesus was perfect. He walked the face of this earth. And he went through everything that we're going through. Jesus was the only perfect one. So eventually your spouse is going to trip and do something that you just don't like, you know. And I'm not talking about the little things like which way he rolls the toilet tissue or whether he put the seat down or, you know, really locked the door or something like that. I'm not talking about those little things. Those little things we really should dismiss fast. If you want to stay married for a long time, you're going to realize your husband might drop, your wife might drop stuff on the floor, their shirts, their pants. Well, it don't hurt to pick it up. Go pick it up. You know, if it's really bothering you, if it's not bothering you, wait for him to pick it up or her to pick it up, you know. But don't make a big deal out of those small things.
Amen. Keep this in mind as well. When you are dealing with marriages, and I want everybody to understand this, if you got an issue about, let's say it's about your child in school. All right. Deal with that issue about the child in school. Don't bring up something that happened 2 years ago. Don't bring up something that happened 5 years ago. Keep everything in mind. You see, because now you're throwing logs on the fire that should have been extinguished a long time ago. And what happened, you got to keep the lines of communication open. That's the key. I'm going to say that's the key to any marriage. The enemy knows if he can stop y'all from talking, he got you. Because now he's going to put thoughts in your mind because you're not communicating. Well, you have one that can diffuse one thing. Sometimes I may get heated. He can speak to me and give me scriptures. I got to come down. I got to humble myself as a man of God, because the word is going to be right. Sometimes she can be wrong. And I give her scriptures. You ain't got to argue with the scriptures. You say, this is what God says. And we need that in marriage. We help build each other up. You know what I mean? She helped me and I help her. There are times, amen, I'm walking. I may stumble. She's there to catch me. And she may stumble. remember, we had a little game going on when we first got married. You might remember that, honeymoon. He said, I ain't gonna let you out love me. We used to go back and forth. You out love me. You know what I mean? Man, we was going at, no, I'm gonna love you more than you gonna love me. Why? Because we listen, that's all of us are bring, both of us are bringing something to the table. And if you love a person, you know, you go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about it. And one thing I like, it say, love keep no record of wrongdoing. Stop putting out that resume every time you get mad. You got a whole list of stuff. You know you did this in 1992 and you did this in 2005. Yeah, you made me mad in 2018. You ain't about to do no talking to her. Don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. If you arguing about the burnt chicken, arguing about the burnt chicken, keep it inbound. Don't bring Junior Tucker Toy in. All right? Okay.
Guys, we're nowhere near perfect, you know, and I love and First Lady Pat, First Lady Patsy says all the time, because we're not perfect. It took us 41 years to get where we are today. And we're still not perfect. But what we do is now we allow the Word of God to be our mediator. So we might be going back and forth because we're opposite. We're opposite as day and night. Everything he likes chitlins. I can't stand chitlins. You know, we're just opposite. But what we do is when we're going banner and back and forth, and one of us, it could be either one of us, might quote the word. Once the word comes forth, we have our saying. We say, yes, dear.
That's it.
Once we say, yes, dear, conversation over. Okay, the word has come forth. We just got to get in line with the word. So our next point we want to make is, and I know that there's an old song, say about 50-50 love, okay? Not 70-40, not six, you know, but not 70-30, but 50-50. No, we say that it's 100-100. We have to give 100% of our time and our love to each other.
And that can be a challenge at times, because when you got couples, believe it or not, you got couples in relationships that compete with one another, but they're competing in the wrong spirit. You know what I mean? They compete with one another and just to one up one person. Man, we in this together. When my wife heard, I heard. When she going through, I'm going through. And I promise you this, when she having a rough day and I call her and she said, baby, let's pray. I said, come on, let's pray. I'm going to pray with her right then and right there. Why? Because she'll encourage me. She'll say, don't worry about it. God got it. Then she knows she'll tell me, remember that sermon you preached. Remember what you said to the church. And then what it does is bring that spirit down. So we work together. We working together. Like you said, you got 41 years, but I remember that house. If you're not putting in the house when the door fall off, you ain't going to fix it. Or when the window is broke, you ain't going to fix it. Or, you know, When things are happening, the roof meet down, you ain't gonna fix. If you don't invest in your marriage, you're only gonna get out what you put in. You don't believe me? I tell you what, don't put no money in the ATM machine in the bank and go up there. Tell me, I wanna get me $1,000. You ain't put nothing in there. Ain't nothing coming out. You know what I mean? When we got married, we were young, we did everything wrong. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, we did everything wrong. We didn't get no counseling. We just jumped up and got married, and we paid for it. A lot of stuff that we dealt with, we probably wouldn't have to deal with. That's why we don't mind about sharing. We transparent. We did some stuff. I did some stuff. Amen. And she did some stuff. We did some things in our marriage. But God kept us together because we were saved. And in my mama said this to me. She says, two saved people ought to be able to get along. And I never forgot that. So in other words, you know, about I'm right, you right. No, God is the one that's going to be right at the end of the day. Because pride will give you a false sense of yourself. And you think you all in a bag of chips. And God got a way of bringing you back to yourself and let you see yourself. But we're in this together. We are all to be locked in. And I think I shared with Pastor Eric about the clay. And that really helped me out, it helped my wife out when we was in a marriage class ourselves. And they gave us some clay. They gave us some white clay, and they gave us some black clay. And we had to mix it together until we only saw one color. You know, and he'll come by and look at it and say, no, I still see too much white. You ain't mixing it good. So when two lives come together, her life disappeared, my life disappeared, we become as one, but we still got our own personalities that we have to work on. We have to work on that, amen? You come from two different backgrounds. You come in from two different homes where you was raised, but you love each other enough to say, you know what? I am willing to compromise so I can be with the one I love. And you're gonna have to give up some things in marriage. You have to give up some things in marriage, but you give it up first. For both of you, amen, to be happy. Amen. And watch this. I'm going to share this with y'all. You know, sometime my wife, we were young, and another couple started having problems. she would come to me and start talking about their problems. And then she would take the woman's side, and I'll take the man's side. And then we end up arguing about other folks' problems. And all of a sudden, God just dropped us. What are we arguing about? We ain't mad with each other. But we done got into it about another person's problem, and we don't even know the whole situation. We don't know the whole situation. That's why I don't counsel people unless both of them are there. Because you're gonna give me your side, and then you're gonna make his side bigger than your, you know. So listen, let's work together. You know what I mean? But remember the lines of communication. That's very important. I got to hit this because our Pastor Eric been in the armed forces. He understand this, and those are the armed forces. When the enemy want to take you out, the first thing he does is take out the lines of communication. Back in my day, back in my cowboy watching days, you know what I mean? They cut out the telegraph wire, so you can't communicate. Amen. When they was back in moving up World War I, they cut down the telegraph poles, and they don't want you to communicate with your commander. So they stop the lines of communication, and once that's cut off, you know what I mean? You can't get no instructions. You can't get no advice. You can't get no counsel. Always keep the lines of communication open. And let me help somebody else. Do not try to discuss stuff while you're angry. Hello, somebody. If you table it, but make sure you talk about it. Don't table it and push it back and make that pile big that you already got that stuff out in 1992. You know, get rid of that stuff and say, we ain't going to talk about it tonight. Later, but make sure you talk about it. Don't push it until about all of a sudden now you done made love. Yeah, I'm done wearing that. No. We need to talk about that because that's gonna come up again. Amen. All right.
Amen. Entitlement is one thing that we wanted to discuss, and we live in a generation now where everybody thinks they're entitled. I shouldn't be treated like this, or I shouldn't be talked to like this. Or entitlement is something that you should push aside. Replace it with gratitude. Just be thankful. Whenever we're going through changes, I always tell myself, Lord, I start thanking God. I thank you for the roof over my head. I thank you for my husband coming home every night. I thank you that we have food on our table. And I just started to give gratitude to the Lord for the things that I have. And that the things that I think I'm missing is just not that important anymore.
And that comes too as you get older. And your walk with God and your walk with your wife, you start valuing things. When you're younger, you know, you put all the values on certain things and those things that is not as important. You ever notice by older people, your grandmother, your great grandmother, the greatest values in this family, staying together. And you ever notice when you young in your marriage and you just about to blow your top and you start talking to older person, they'll look at you and smile and they'll laugh because they done been through it. It's just a temporary thing. And sometimes I always use this saying, never throw the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, you know, sometimes people mess up their life, but love will keep you, amen, from making a bad mistake if you listen to God. It'll keep you from making a wrong mistake. And a lot of times, you know, you don't went through the hard part. You know, you don't went through the hard part. It don't make no sense for me to try to trade this Mustang in. You know what I mean? I don't know how to drive a new car. No, they got too much technology, too much stuff. You know, amen. They say, you know, dance with the girl you came with. You know what I mean? I met my wife in eighth grade. I met her in eighth grade. And I'm telling you, we was friends. Our life went apart, but we came back together in 81, and God has kept us together since. Now, I've been knowing over 50 years. I thank God for that. You know what I mean? Because we were friends first. But even in the midst of that, I knew she was going to be a good wife. I knew that. I wasn't quite ready, but I knew she was going to be. She wasn't ready either. She thought she was, but she was. You know what I mean? She looked the part, but she had some stuff, too, that she had to deal with. Amen. But God kept us. And I'm going to tell you, when we got saved, amen, that puts us on the right direction, on the right point. I love my wife. I thank God for her. Amen. There's nothing I wouldn't do for her. I'm gonna be there for her. You know what I mean? Amen. Now I tell people anytime. I tell them at the church. Don't mess with my children. Don't mess with my wife. Amen, somebody.
That's funny. And we do that with each other. I remember when my husband first got saved, and when the Lord saved him. I was saved a couple of months before him, but we were in a parking lot one day. And you see, you never know. Don't ever say what you won't do. But my husband was really saved. I mean, he was really trying to change his life, and the Lord was really dealing with him. And so we pulled up into the parking space. And I guess the guy thought it was his parking space. And he jumps out and he's yelling and screaming at my husband. My husband's sitting in the car. He's not saying a word. Next thing you know, I don't know what happened. I open the door. I get out the door and I'm yelling and screaming at the man. I remember I got saved first. And then my husband had to remind me, say, honey, you're saved, remember? But we do those things together. But I tell you, like my husband said, we've been married 41 years. We're not the same. We got 23. Life has changed over those years. So you have to learn to deal with changes. Even the things that we like change as we mature. Those things, you know, we like when we were 23 years old, we just don't do anymore now that we're 64 years old, you know. So life changed. So you have to be able to adjust with the change in your spouse. I buy him certain foods, but I've learned that those foods change, you know, because of his diet, maybe. You know, we used to go to the park a lot. We used to do a lot of outdoor things. Well, we don't do that much outdoor things anymore. So life just changed and adjust. Just don't get stuck in one thing and say, oh, babe, but you used to. Okay, but now you don't feel that same way. So, you know, adjust to it.
And that's the key. You know, that's different. You find out what makes your spouse happy. All right? Find out what makes your spouse happy. I remember, you know, but getting back to that incident about the man, let me just say something. I had never seen my wife get upset. I really haven't. You know, we had, no, not like that. Man, that's a downplay. That's a ready to fight. I mean, she was ready to fight. That man looked at her like, what's wrong with you? And I'm trying to rub her down and how about shata, but hey man, she ready to go. But I appreciate it. But at the same time, you know, we were saved. Now, as we look at our life, you know, you're gonna have, let me say this to you, seriously. Every marriage gonna have some challenges and some points in your life. And I call those points and challenges growth spurts. How you handle it. Either you're going to grow or you're going to shrink back. And one of the biggest issues, I think, is pride. Man, you got to handle that pride. Brothers, I'm talking to the brothers. You ain't going to be right all the time. Hello? You ain't going to be right. I told Abraham, listen to your wife. Even though what Sarah was crying about was dead wrong, God, listen to your wife. And I promise you, brothers, if you learn how to say, yes, dear, you can sleep better at night. The food tastes better. I'm telling you, man. Hey, man, you won't lose your hair. Just say, yes, dear. You know what I mean? You're going to be all right. Just say, yes, dear. Amen. Because one thing about it takes two to argue. If you hush, eventually they're going to talk to themselves for a minute. And eventually they're going to go in there and find something else to do. And you know what you do? You get up. And you come in there and you kiss them. Let them know, oh, baby, you know I love you. My dad shared this with me. My dad said, him and mom, you know, they would have been married about 70 years, not close to 70 years, he's still been living. Dad said, me and my wife had a really serious argument, and he was talking to me. He said, son, he said, man, you think me and your mama have no problem? I said, well, you know. He said, I'm going to tell you what I do. Dad reached in his wallet, Pastor Eric, pulled out a picture with mom about 19 years old. He said, every time they get a serious argument, pull out that picture. Remember why he married that girl. He didn't say girl, he said that girl. He said, everything just leave him then. All the anger, all that stuff just leave him. I got word about my wife. Boy, that's that picture. She was sitting up there with a leg across. Hello, somebody. Had them Jerry curls. Every now and then, we used to have them out going to look at that picture. Remember why I married her. Always remember why you married your wife. All that sweet stuff and those sweet letters that you wrote. Remember that stuff. Because I'm telling you, the thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And brothers, when you know you got a good wife, or sister, when you know you got a good husband, let me say this. I got to say something, man. Give me a minute. Stop hanging around folk, amen, who always got issues with their man, trying to put that stuff on you or with their woman. Don't hang around. If you can't help them, say, you got to go get some help. I can't do it. Because my husband ain't like that. All men like that. And all the devil is a lie. All of the devil is a lie. And I'm telling you, you got to watch that spirit. Because they are miserable. They want you to be miserable. Amen? Now a lot of times, you know, we run into couples and they have issues. And you ain't going to be able to help everybody. Because some people don't want to be helped. But you can help somebody by the life you live, how you treat your wife. Watch this. Every marriage is different. Some marriages, you know, the wife do this for the husband, or the husband do this for the wife, and she like that. Don't try to push that in another marriage, because they happy, right? What doing what they doing. Right. Girl, you mean to tell me, if my man do this, or my man do that for me, that's your household. You got rules and principles. I'm happy over here. You know what I mean? So you be happy over there, I be happy over here, and then we be at a happy place. But don't try to bring that in my marriage. Mess up my marriage. I remember, you know, my wife, you know, she'll fix my food and she'll bring it to me. You know what I mean? I know something. That's your marriage. You know, and then one of them something came up. He ought to get up and down. I said, leave that alone now. See, you messing with something, you got a little bit, leave it alone. It will work for us. My wife's got no problem with that because she know I'll fix hers too. You know, she know I cook. Hey, I go in the kitchen, I'll do a little stuff. I'm gonna tell y'all another little thing in 41 years. I remember when my wife got mad. Well, she was mad at me, and she didn't know I can cook. We had just got married, and she was mad. Well, she wasn't saying nothing. I wouldn't have started cooking, but that food was smelling good, and she had started trying to be mad. I knew she was hungry, so I had to excuse myself. I said, back in the shed, a mouthful of food. I was trying to eat before I got back. But she could be mad, but we just bust out and started laughing. But these are the things that you're going to encounter over years of your marriage. Amen. All
amen.
Right.
Amen. And that man cooked at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay? So, and the one other thing that he does that we do together is that when we come in the room, when one person walk in the room together, we walk over and we kiss each other. It's just a habit now. Today we went to Starbucks. Got ready to leave Starbucks. We kissed each other before we left.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't, when we leave out the room, we don't leave out the room without kissing each other. We might, at the house, you know, you're in and out the room all the time. But he'll call me back. Hey, you forgot something? You know? So it's just a habit that we have now for 41 years. A lot of people like a checklist, okay? So what's a great marriage? So here's a few things that we have on the checklist. Both of you must be patient and kind and thoughtful one to the other. You have to think about doing nice things. Sometimes we have to, it should come automatically, but sometimes it doesn't. So put a little thought into it. My husband travels sometimes for revivals or different things, and I used to have to pack all of his clothes. I still pack them. He picks them now. But I used to put like a little note or something in his clothes so that when he get to wherever he is, he can know that I'm praying for him, I'm thinking about him. I'll send a text, or he'll call me, one of the deacons, used to make jokes about it because he said, man, you just left out the parking lot. What you calling that woman for, you know? But it's those little thoughtful things in over the course of your day that you do. Build each other up. Don't tear each other down.
That's good.
Yeah. We all have weaknesses and bad points, and you could spend a lifetime talking about a person's weakness, but instead, why don't you talk about the great things that they do, what you love about that person, what makes you happy, and think about it through the course of the day. Don't always think about those things that irritate you and make you mad or upset.
Amen.
Listen. When the other person is talking, listen actively, intently. Don't listen to respond, but listen to what they're saying. Try to hear their heart, why they're saying this, what's going on with them. You know, my husband taught my boys that hear what they're not saying as well as what they're saying. So sometimes we're trying to build up to what's really in our heart. So we say a lot of stuff. And if you jump on the first thing you say, you might miss out on what we're actually trying to say. So listen intently and then speak with transparency. You know, don't always try to, you know, well, when we talk to the Lord, we do those these and thous. Get to the point. You know, we don't have to add so much into it, but be honest and open. If you can't be honest and open with your spouse, who can you be honest and open with? Like he said, we're friends first, you know, to hang out together and make jokes. And I would pretend like I was one of the fellas and lean over in the car with him and hey, man, look at that woman over there. You know, that kind of, we were joking, guys, okay? But we were just hanging out with each other. And I've said this earlier, and I can't say it enough. Be quick to forgive. Don't hold on. Man. Don't stop speaking for days and days because you still mad this Thursday and you still mad about what happened on Sunday. You know, don't hold on. Forgive fast. It'll help you, you know. And then see the good in one another. You know, that goes back to what we said earlier, but, you know, see the good in it. You know, don't always see the bad. Don't always have to pick up what went wrong, you know, and that's with everything in your life. Don't always hold on what went wrong in your job, what's going wrong in your neighborhood. And every time somebody see you, all you got is negative things to say. You know, try to have a positive outlook. And then we're a team. So act as a team. You know, you work together as a team. We watch basketball, football, those different sports, you know, but if everybody get out there and do what they want to do and try to shine and come together, you're going to lose. I can tell you right now, if you're not working as a team, if you won't pass the ball in basketball, you got to take all of the shots. Well, the other team going to figure that out and they're just going to guard you. So then you're going to be surrounded. Everybody else is just going to be sitting out there not doing anything. So work together as a team, talk to each other and work out difficulties and problems in the family as a team. Don't keep things from each other. You know, talk it out. And then, of course, most of all, love one another well. And my husband won't talk about that loving.
Yeah. Thank you, honey. You know, you have to respect every person's boundaries. There are some things that my wife got a line drawn that you don't cross those lines. You have to understand what those lines are. Remember, I say people change every 10 years. Every 10 years. So you got to make that adjustment to change. Okay? As you get older, you're changing. You have children, you're changing. You know what I mean? But love will make the adjustment to that change. Sometimes you got physical stuff going on as you get older. You got to make adjustments to accommodate that, whether it be the man, whether it be the woman. Remember, you love that person. And you got to ride and live. I ain't say ride and die, ride and live with that person. Because that's the closest thing to you. The Bible says this. You know, David and Jonathan were so close. You know, Jonathan knew that David was going to be the next king. And so when they met, they just revealed all their issues to each other. They stripped each other, looked at each other, this is my wound. This is who I really am. That's what marriage is all about. You ain't got to hide in front of your spouse. You know what I mean? Be transparent with your spouse. If you got a problem, talk it out. Don't argue it out. Talk it out. Honey, we got a problem. Sometimes things be a little uncomfortable to talk about, but you got to talk. You got to talk. If you don't talk it out, all it's going to do, that molehill is going to become a mountain. It started out small where you can step over it, but deal with it. It becomes bigger and you start tripping over it. You keep on until somebody hurt themselves. And you look back, you know, that started 5 years ago. When you see something going on, stop what you're doing. Say, okay, we need to talk about this. Before it gets to a point where you can't talk about it or you don't want to talk about it. So always keep the dialogue open. I'll say it again. That's very important in any marriage. Keep the dialogue and the communication open. We about done. We about run out of time. Keep the dialogue. I'm going to talk about something y'all been waiting on. That's sex. Everybody say sex. Woo! I know. Let me say this about sex. Sex is not bad. Intimacy is not bad. Satan took what God made good and made it bad and tried to make it nasty. What you mean, Bishop? Because what happens is when God made Adam and Eve, the Bible said they both were naked. All right? Adam saw Eve for who she was. Eve saw Adam who she was. But what Satan does, Satan don't want there to be sex to be in the sanctity of marriage. Satan says you can do it when you get ready. And that becomes so custom to people now that a lot of times, I'm going to say this, hope nobody will get offended. But a lot of times, amen, God would like for all of us to be virgins. But because of society sometimes, we don't. And now when you talk about sex, can I say this? Sex is 10% of your marriage. 10%. Like, no. What you going to talk about after you get out of the bed? What you got to say? Man, that sex was good. Well, baby, you can't say about all that for so long. You got to have something to talk about outside the bed. You know what I mean? Because once you get physical, once you get finished, you know, you look at each other, you're staring at each other, what? You ain't got nothing in common, you ain't got nothing to talk about. You know, you can't laugh. I mean, come on. Think about it. And we put so much emphasis on it that it rules a lot of marriages. Now, that is, it's important. It's necessary. For the Bible says this to the wife and to the husband. Your body don't belong to you. Right. It belongs to the other person. Now, men and women, don't use sex as a weapon. Uh-oh. Right. In other words, you know, to get what you want. You know what I mean? If he don't buy what I want, then they ain't going to give him nothing. Now, because you in the wrong. That's wrong. Come on with me. Don't get off now. Stay with me. You in the wrong. Huh? Sex was made for mutual enjoyment between both parties. Huh? Not just for one person to get off. No, it don't work like that. It's both parties coming together. Just like anything else in your marriage, that's got to be coming together. Okay? And it's got to be enjoyable. All right? And when you look at it from God's perspective, it was good. Like I said, the enemy came and tried to make it nasty, tried to make it out of bounds. And that's why we got a lot of problems now with people, young folks, who don't want to get married and want to keep doing that and think it's right, but not according to the word. But when they want to get married, they want to get married under the banner of God, and that's it. They want God to bless the marriage, but they don't want to live according to the principles in the midst of that blessing. All right? And think about it. When you look at your wife, and you marry your wife, you marry for the whole package. Okay, if there are some issues in that area or the bedroom, talk about it. Talk about it. Don't wait till them and try to fake it till you make it. No, talk about it, because eventually on the surface, you got to be willing to talk about it, be honest about it, be open about it. As a matter of fact, a lot of that stuff you'll be talking about before you get married. So you'll know going in. A woman can't have children. You need to let the man know. A man can't have, let the woman know. So that way you won't be blindsided inside the marriage. You should have told me. Be honest and up, because you plan on spending the rest of your life with that person. You understand? Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I don't want, you know, get too deep in it. But I just want y'all to get the genesis of what we're talking about. We've been married 41 years. We've had some highs. We've had some lows. We've had some challenges. But one thing I appreciate about this lady right here, she's a rock. Amen. She loved God, and she loved me. Hello, and I love her. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we'll just roll over and, hey, how you doing? You all right? And sometimes, you know, she liked to watch Perry Mason and all these type of, I like cowboy movies. And every now and then, I get there and watch Perry Mason with her. I be asking her questions. She know all the characters. Sometimes she'll come in and watch a little cowboy with me. You know what I mean? She be there. She we know we're going to see be there. You know? And every now and then, she like little Christmas movies. The one that makes you cry. You know what I mean? And she watches me around. I go to Arizona, you got to be willing to sacrifice. And one thing I like about Patsy and Eric, and y'all know I'm finna tell on y'all, they got what they call date night.
Yeah.
Much respect, much love they got for me and mama. You will not get them to talk on date night. I call Eric on date night. Patsy, give me 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes, Daddy Bishop. Gotta hang up. And he will get off that phone. Boy, when Pastor come, he gonna get off that phone. He can be talking to President Biden. He getting off that phone. Man, Pastor on the phone. I got to go. And I respect that. I laugh. I tease about it. But brother, you keep on doing what you're doing. Pastor, you keep on loving Eric. Thank y'all for the invite. We get ready to get off. We love you. We appreciate you so much. Amen.
All right.
All right. Awesome.
That was awesome talk. Awesome, awesome, Bishop. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I know Patsy had took down some notes. We've been monitoring the chat, and I mean, it's been going back and forth. One was somebody on TJ said ride and live. So I guess that's a good thing when you talk about ride and live. Yeah, you know, I always hear ride and die, but I haven't too much heard ride and live, so I thank God for that.
Oh wow, let me see who I. Okay, so Lindsay said, it's the small things, and I totally agree with that. The small things matter so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that you don't even really think about. It's that little thing that be like, oh. He was thinking about me. She was thinking about me. So I like that, Lindsay. Thanks for that comment. Because it's definitely the small things that make the big things so much better.
I would say, Bishop, that we had the people coming in and said, I asked the question, you know, was the talk good? And everybody, you know, people were saying so good. Absolutely. So we really thank you and Lady Cheryl. You know, we got to give y'all another clap.
You know, I'm
gonna
thank you guys.
Oh man! All right. So we have the phone number out there. If somebody wants to call in and ask some questions, I mean, they can go on. They can ask the questions through chat as well. I do have a couple of prayer requests. But if you want to call in and you want to ask Bishop and Lady Cheryl some questions, we got a little bit more time. You can dial in to 754-222-2219. That's 754-222-2219. And you can ask them some questions. You're not asking us no questions tonight, right, babe?
No.
No?
But I have a question.
Okay.
Do I need to call in?
No, you don't need to call in. You got your mic.
You saying 722. Okay, so my question is about sex. One of my favorite topics. You know, the Bible says that the bed is undefiled, right? So when it talks about it being undefiled, can you kind of like, because my thing
elaborate
is,
on it.
Yeah, collaborate on that just a little bit for me.
Oh, you're talking to me? Okay.
Both of y'all.
Both of y'all. Mom, you can answer, Mom.
I'm going to elaborate. Go in the bedroom and close your door. It ain't nobody watching you but God.
Oh, all right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I like, you know, if you can add things like handcuffs.
You always ask that question.
Silk chains.
Didn't he just say, he said, if you go
but
in.
Hey, God can watch that on my.
He said, if you go in, you close the door, right? You want that.
Hey, listen.
As long as it's mutual.
Yeah. There you go. As long as it's mutual. Right. Hey, especially I don't want to be whipped. You know, nobody will be no whipping. Mm-mm. No, sir. No, sir.
Don't call me crying. Whip all
the. You know, Patsy don't like to get the. She wouldn't like to get the soft whips. She want to get those hard whips like Catwoman. You know, and all that stuff.
I'll beat you, baby. No,
man. Oh, man.
I also like.
Seriously, though, Patsy. You know, people try to make that bigger than what it is. But what you do between your husband and God, God is the only one that's got to be able to judge your man. And if he's comfortable with it, and you're comfortable in it. You know what I mean? God's well pleased. You know what I mean? Because you got different, watch this. You got different cultures that do different things and different customs. Always keep that in mind. But what you want to do, you want to honor God inside the bedroom as well outside the bedroom. Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to leave it like that.
Yeah. Okay, so one more thing. I like what you said. It was like, you know, keep things in the present. Even though you may be disagreeing or you having your moment, to just keep things in the present is so important, because when you bring up stuff from the past, it actually shows that you really haven't forgiven for it, and because it's still there. So I really like that. And keeping a line of communication open was another great one. These nuggets you guys dropped was so awesome. I was writing them down, and I'm going to actually put them up on my little board, so when I'm having an issue, I can go to my, you know, my topics and say, okay, all right, I can do this.
All right.
I don't have to be too mad at
them. Yeah, you ain't got to be too mad at them. Like I said, you know, for all of those, please, you like and share. Please make sure you like this video, like this, you know, and make sure you share it. There is somebody that needed to hear this talk tonight. You know, it was good for us, and many of you said it was so good for you all. And so you can always go back and look at it. And once we put it on Apple Podcasts, you can listen to it as well. But we want you to make sure you like and share. And because, again, somebody needs, you may know somebody whose marriage needs to have this talk. And from Bishop and Lady Cheryl, we really need to have this talk. So we want you to go and like and share. Make sure you share with your family and with your friends and your coworkers. You know, a lot of, you know, this is spreading the gospel, right? Am I right about that, Bishop?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
this right. is spreading the gospel, because as Bishop said, the enemy wants to destroy the marriage. He wants to destroy what God has made. Anything that God has made, he wants to destroy it. And so this is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, where we need God. We have to be the center of that. So if you want to call in again, we only have but a couple of more minutes. 754-222-2219. 754-222-2219. You can call in and ask your question. Don't be ashamed, right? You know, I know Ferg and Izzy and Samson is on here. You know, I know they not ashamed. They, you know, they love to call in. Yeah, so, but yeah, we would want you to call in. You got any other thing you want to say, Bishop and Lady Cheryl? How did you enjoy the talk tonight? Doing the talk?
I enjoyed it. It was a blast. And I always thank God for first, because she always going to have some great insight. And I appreciate it. I want to say this to all the married couples and how Satan works. If he can divide the family, he can pick off the children one by one.
Oh, wow.
He can divide the children. He can destroy their seed as well.
My God.
You always want to divide the family, destroy the family. So you do all you can to hold your marriage together. Stop listening to the world's view and listen to God's view of marriage.
Mm.
Because the world say love them and leave them. That ain't what God said.
Mm.
You work it out.
Yes.
You work it out. You do the best you can to work it out. You know what I mean? All of us got issues, but you work it out. You know what I mean? That woman that met Jesus at the well had so many husbands, but she was able to deal with those issues when she ran into the Messiah.
Right.
So you work it out, amen. Sometimes, you know, it may take a while, but you can work it out.
All right.
Oh, that was good.
Got to give you something now, Bishop. Got to give you something now. You know, we were talking, me and Bishop yesterday. He was preaching to me yesterday. You know, every time I call Bishop, I know I got a sermon, you know. Unless it's a writer, you know, he got a sermon for me.
He
always got a sermon. We were talking about even getting ready for the night, and we were talking about how people, some people, especially, I would say the younger generation or whatever, they look at marriage more as a contract versus a covenant.
Mm.
And so with a contract, you can amend a contract. You know, at the end of the contract, it tells you how, when you have a dispute, what you need to do. And they say, look, we either go to a mediator or we can just go straight to court. And so that's what happens. You know, they can tear it up. They can amend it, try to amend it. Or I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what this. So let me know what this contract is null and void.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that with a covenant. You can do that with a contract, but you can't do it with a covenant. Amen. And so that's why they go straight to the judge. Now we want to get divorced because they treated it as a contract versus a covenant. Like Bishop say, hey, you're going to work it out. You know, unless it's a, you know, it has to be some abuse. You know, you got all of these kind of things that really messes up a marriage. But if it's communication or irreconcilable difference, why we can't reconcile? We should be able to reconcile, you know?
Well, you know, Bishop said, hey, it's not an option. Mm. It is not an option. If you go into it saying, if it don't work, the option is I'm getting a divorce. If you got to take that option off the table.
Off the table from the jump.
Necessary.
Got to get that to y'all.
You got to be able to forgive quickly. I'm telling y'all, I wrote some stuff down.
Yes,
I'm excited about using this when I talk to people.
Yeah, yeah.
Including for myself.
That's it. It's not an option.
It's not an option.
We got to take that off the table before we get married. So that I love that. All right.
You know, and I'm going to say this too, and I'm done. Kind of funny, but man and the wife was having, they couldn't get along. So the wife said, you know what? I'm out of here. And she went and packed her suitcase. She took a little longer. The man was waiting on downstairs with his suitcase. He said, where you going? He said, where you going? He said, where you lay your head? I'm laying mine.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be my God. And your hotel room is going to be my hotel. Whatever we do, we do it together.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Even tonight, Bishop and Lady Cheryl, for a good friend of ours from North Carolina, Ferg is on the line. He's a widower, but he said, hey, it's good. You was good for us single folks as well tonight. Samson said, you know, stop listening to the worldview and start listening to God's view. And that was a fire that he put next to that. So that was some good nuggets, as Patsy was saying. Absolutely. Very good nuggets. So we thank you all, you know, for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this for us, because you didn't have to do it. Right.
Come on, man.
I wouldn't have heard Anna. Can you believe Bishop turned me down?
No, I wouldn't do y'all like that. You know, we love you guys.
Yes.
We love you.
In fact, you born in September, you ripped my month, so I ain't had no choice.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Awesome. Well, again, we want you to like and share. We want you to be able to listen to it. We're on Apple Podcasts. We want to make sure we have the prayer tonight. We want to make sure we have the prayer. So, Bishop, I had two prayer requests. I'm just going to call out the names, and I'm going to look at what they said here just a little bit. What one said that, you know, their marriage is leading down to the heel of divorce. So I guess we want to pray against the divorce. Miss Lynch and one, Miss Fortnite, says, her prayer request is to marry a man that really loves so much, but he doesn't even speak to me, and I'm really hurting from it because I love him until God calls me home. She want to marry this guy. So apparently she wants to marry this guy, but he, I guess he's not showing at the time of the day. So that's Ms. Fontenot. So I don't know if there's any other prayer requests. Did you see any other prayer requests, babe? Okay, so we got those two prayer requests that came in online, and so we want to make sure that we pray. And, you know, I know there's some other marriages in here that you could pray general for the marriages before we go. All right? Turn it over to y'all.
All right. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you, God. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for Pastor Eric and his wife, Patsy. Oh, God, for them just setting this platform up, because we need help in our marriages, all of us. And we're so grateful for your grace, your mercy, and your Holy Spirit giving us wisdom inside of marriages. Father, you already heard, God, the prayer request. God, this one that's going down to divorce. God, you know how to stop it. Father, I pray, God, that you deal with both of their hearts, that everything that Satan put in their hearts to try to destroy or try to hinder or try to break up, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Let the peace of God and the love of God and the unity of God bring them to a point where they can talk about it and talk about it from your word. Father, I pray, God, that you will snatch that spirit that's trying to drive them to the divorce court, move that spirit out of their life, and let them look up to you, for you got all the answers. For Jesus, you are the answer. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, let them look to you. And Father, I thank you, God, because you're a God that can show up at the last minute and you can turn things around. And Father, by their action, by their petition, she still care about the marriage. And God, I pray now, God, that you will turn that care into love and you will turn that love into reconciliation. And God, do it now in the name of Jesus. We lift up on my other sister, God, as she's waiting on this brother. God, you know how to turn her heart. Cause her, God, to just trust you. Cause her to look to you, him. As she looked to you, God, you said, delight yourself in the Lord, and you will give us the desires of our heart. Father, we pray now that you will bring her to the point, God. He's going to click, if this is the marriage that you want her to have, God, you bring it together like you did Adam and Eve. Father, you got the wisdom. You know what's down the road. You already see, God. You see the day and you see tomorrow. So, Father, we are praying for her that she have peace in the midst of this situation and cause her to settle herself and believe that God is in control. Hey, God, you said I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, give her the strength to stand. Give her the strength to trust you in the midst of this thing and give her the spouse, God, that she needs. That's going to cause her, oh God, to go further in you. Bless now in Jesus' name. All these marriages, God, I pray for Pastor Eric and his wife that you continue, God, to use them, bless them, and strengthen them. Keep them together. Bless their children, their grandchildren. Father, I pray, God, that you will continue to bless this ministry because it is so needful in 2024. God, it is so needful. Help us, oh God, to see the need, God, and go out and help young couples and even older couples to remember God in their quest for happiness. Father, I thank you right now. I give you praise for every person that's on this line. Bless them, God. Increase them. Remember the brother, God, whose wife, he lost his wife. God, strengthen him, oh God. I don't know what his desires are, God. If he desires another wife, God, you know how to do it. You know how to fix it up. But even in the midst of that, God, you keep him. Watch over him and bless him and give him peace and joy even where he's at right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Bishop. We want to just say before we get ready to go, if you want to help us to create more programming, you can give by Zelle at Marriage and Real Life at reallifesfl.church or by Cash App at $Marriage in Real Life. We have one announcement before we get ready to go. On Tuesday, February 13th, we'll be celebrating 1 year. Right. Yes. So we want you to join us for that time because we'll be doing 1 year, and we're happy about it. So yes. Join us 1 year Tuesday, February 13th at 7:30 p.m. You know, have your hats and all that kind of stuff. We're gonna have a live audience too if we wanted to.
Okay,
all right.
Let's
do that. All right. So again, February 13th. We won't be back until February 13th at 7:30 p.m. Now that's a special time. That's a Tuesday. Usually we broadcast on Monday, but we're gonna do on Tuesday. Hey, maybe we have Bishop then come back and say something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's close to Valentine's Day.
It's close to Valentine's Day. Oh, let's talk about love. All right. Ooh. All right, baby. Well, again, we want to thank you for everybody for joining us. Don't please make sure you like and share this video because somebody needed to have that talk. We want to say good night and we salute you. God bless.
Good night.
God bless you. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
God bless.
Thank you.
If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We hope you enjoyed this new episode. And if you did, please rate and review our show on your favorite podcast channel. Please share this episode with others who may be interested in this topic. And also, feel free to let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in future episodes. Get in touch in the comments or on any social media networks at Marriage in Real Life Podcast. We'll see you in 2 weeks for our next episode.